Okay, today's daf is Shabbat, daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. We are at the top of Kuf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah. Nochri Shabbat Chabot, en omrim lo chabe, ve'al tichbe, mipnei she'en shvitato aleihen. Right, so if a Jew comes to put out the fire, we don't say to him, you should put it out, but we also don't say to him, don't put it out, because we're not responsible for him not doing something that would be a desecration of Shabbat. Val katan, Shabbat Chabot, en shomin lo mipnei she'shvitato aleihen. However, it's not the same when it comes to a child, because you are actually responsible for a child's observance of Shabbat, even if they aren't chayav in it. You are responsible for the fact that Shabbat is preserved even by them. Gemara, Amar bi Ami b'deleika heitiru lomar kol mechabe eino mafsid. So when it comes to a fire, they permitted the saying of the following in front of non-Jews. One who puts it out won't lose out. Meaning basically indicating that it is in your interest that the fire be put out without directly asking someone. Name Messiah, eh? So maybe we can bring a proof, a support for this. Nochri sheba lechabot, ein omrim lo chabe, v'al tichbe, b'pnei she'en shvitato aleihen. Right? So your responsibility towards the nochri, you don't have to tell them, what not to do, because you're not responsible for their resting. So yeah, that's a good support. Chabehu delo amrinan le hakol mechabe eno mafsid amrinan le. Right, from the fact that we said specifically saying you don't say put it out. You can't tell him to put it out. Right, so from the fact that the Mishnah said that, I can infer that I'm not supposed to tell him to put out the fire. But what can I tell him? That one who does put out the fire doesn't lose out. Meaning I'm not telling him, but I'm saying it in an indirect way. So maybe I can draw support from the Lashon of the Mishnah that would be allowed. But maybe look at the end of it. Look at the seifa. Right, you're also not supposed to say don't put it out. Right, so maybe you're also not supposed to say that kol mechabe eno mafsid el mehalek lemash mina. Yeah, okay. So I guess from our Mishnah, there's really not much of a proof either way, whether you can or cannot say anyone who puts it out does not lose out. Tanobanan maasev enafla deleka b'chatzero shel Yosef ben Simai. So it happened that a fire broke out in the courtyard of Yosef ben Simai b'shichin in Shichin. Uba'u anshe gisra shel tzipori lechabot mibnei shapitropa shel melechaya. So he was an officer of the king. And so the king's men went out, so officers of the king, I mean, he worked for the king, and the officers of the king then went to put out the fire on his behalf. But he didn't let them, Shabbat. He didn't want them violating Shabbat on his behalf. And then a miracle happened, and rain came down, and it put out the fire by itself after he didn't allow them to put out the fire. Right? And then that evening, he sent everyone to Sela and 50 to the commanders for coming to help him out. And then the Chachamim heard this event, they said, you know, he really didn't have to do that, because as we learned, when it comes to a non-Jew putting out a fire, we don't have to tell them to do it or not to do it. He wasn't required to stop them. Right, so when it comes to a katan, them keeping Shabbat is on you. Shemat mina katan ochel nevelo beidin mitzuvin alav lafrisho. But you can derive from there that if a katan comes to eat non-kosher food, Beit Din would have to stop him from doing so, because you're not allowed to let a katan violate isurim, apparently, even though he's not chayav in it, you're chayav in it. Which is a contradictory to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan's shita seems to be that Beit Din does not have to be mafreshim. So that's a challenge for Rabbi Yochanan's shita, basically, that the Beit Din would not have to stop a katan from violating isur because he's not chayav in it. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, b'katan ha'osa ladat aviv dekavato gabe nachar deka aviv ladat tevi Yisrael. Says no, where we have to stop the katan from breaking Shabbat is when he is old enough to tell this is what his father wants him to do. So because he can tell this is what his father wants him to do, he's interested in doing what his father wants him to do. So he's really not doing it on his own behalf, he's doing it on his father's behalf. And the comparable case there is a non-Jew who is specifically doing it for on a Jew's behalf, right? And a non-Jew who does it on a Jew's behalf, Mishari, so who would allow that? Nachri data denafshi avin. However, when a Nachri does it by himself, that's when we permit it. Right? So you understand the difference between what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about and where the Beit Din has to stop them from eating nevelas, and here in our case, where the Katan can tell that his father wants this, and so he's going to do it on his behalf, right? Where we have to stop the Katan from doing it is if they're able to discern that this is what their father wants, I'm going to go do it on his behalf. Okay, then you're not allowed to let them break Shabbat. However, when he's doing it for himself, and having nothing to do with his father, that's when you don't have to do anything. New Mishnah. Kofin kera al gabei haner bishvil shalotei achaz bakura v'atzol shel Katan v'al akrav shel tishach. Right, you can flip a bowl over a candle if you're concerned that it's going to catch fire to a beam of your house. Similarly, you can flip a bowl over excrement of a child and on a scorpion so that it doesn't bite. Amar le Amar Yehuda Maseba lifnei or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be'erev Amar Choshani lo bichatat. Right, so a similar case where someone did this, flipped over the bowl over the candle, came before Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he was a little bit concerned. He thought that actually maybe this warrants a korban chatat. Not the candle for the scorpion, because the scorpion, says Rashi, was not chasing after him at the time. He was concerned that maybe what you did wrong was actually a real problem of trapping animals, and it's only when the scorpion's chasing after that you'd be allowed to flip the bowl over it. So he was concerned actually that a wrongdoing may have occurred here. Gemara, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiya, Bar Abba, Rav Chanan, Bar Rava, Iklu Lebe Avin, Deman Neshikia. Right, so these three rabbis went to Avin's house from Neshikia. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, Aitu Lehu Puraita. So he brought the first two Rebbeim. He brought a bed to sit upon. Rav Chanan bar Rava lo Aitu Le. So, but he didn't bring a bed for Rav Chanan bar Abba. He had him sit on the ground. Eshkeche, so he was upset. Obviously, he was upset that he didn't get a bed. Eshkeche matni le lebre valtzo akat shel katan bnei akatan. And so Rav Chanan bar Abba saw that Ravin was teaching his child that the reason that you can cover up the excrement of a child is that so a child doesn't play with it, right? You don't want your child playing with it, so you got to cover it up so the child doesn't play with it. Amarle Avin Shatya Matni Shtuta Libnei. So Rochanan Barava, who was upset, said Avin is a fool and he's teaching foolish things to his child. Vehalohi Atzma Muchanet Leklavin, right? Meaning what are you saying that the only reason that you're only allowed to cover up the excrement of a child so that a child doesn't come to play with it, but it's muchan leklavim, meaning it's fit for to give to dogs, right? In which case it shouldn't be muktzeh at all because it has a functional purpose. So why are you allowed to cover it up? You're only allowed to cover it up so the child doesn't play with it. It's fit for dogs, right? It shouldn't be muktzeh at all. And if you wanted to say, well, no, it wouldn't be fit for dogs because it wasn't fit yesterday, meaning it wasn't. I didn't know to designate it. This thing didn't exist yesterday. I couldn't have designated it as a functional thing that I have use for on Shabbat, and that's why it's mukta. Naharot hamoshchin u'mayinot hanovin harein kiraglei kol adam. Right. So, but didn't we teach that that streams and ma'ayanot, springs, that even though the water is coming in and out, right, it's still fit for people to use it, right, because that's the nature of water to flow, you know, to flow from one place to the other. So even though this exact water wasn't there yesterday, it's its nature to flow from one place to the other, so, you know, it was going to be here, right? And so similarly, when it comes to a child, because his nature is basically go to the bathroom anywhere, so it doesn't really need to be designated from beforehand. You knew that, you know, there's a chance that your child could have gone to the bathroom anywhere. In which case, it's fit for dogs, and for it's not mukta. So what are you teaching your son that the only reason that you can cover it up is so that the child doesn't play with it? That's not true. And so Ravin says, okay, well, how am I supposed to explain this mission to him? What is the case that we're talking about then that it's muksa that I can't touch, but I'd still be allowed to flip a bowl over it? What, you know, if my version, my explanation doesn't fit, then how do you explain it? Right? You have to teach them that it's because of the of excrement of chickens that you don't want a child playing with that is not fit to give to dogs. Well, no, maybe that also, I have a problem with your answer that we're talking about excrement of chickens because that's a gerif shel rei. It's a disgusting thing you don't want in your house, right? And so you're allowed to be you're allowed to take it out. If there's a disgusting thing, the classic example of Gerev Shel Rei is like a chamber pot, right? Something you went to the bathroom in, right? You're allowed to take it out of your house so that you don't have to be sitting around your house with that next to you. You're allowed to take it out. In which case, this also you should be allowed to remove it because it's a Gerev Shel Rei. So you know why would I think that that's why would I think my only option here is to flip a bowl over it? And if you want to tell me, the difference is that a Gerev Shel Rei, the disgusting thing can only be taken out in the kli that it's in. But if it's by itself, then that's not a Gerev Shel Rei, and you can't remove it. And that will be the difference between the excrement of chicken and deposits in a chamber pot. Right? But didn't Rav Ashi find a rat in his spices? And he said, and he told his assistant to grab it by the tail and remove it. So seemingly, he was allowed to remove that dead rat because it was disgusting and it wasn't on top of a vessel or inside of a vessel. Rather, he grabbed it by hand. In which case, something can be a Gerev Shel Rei even if it's not inside of a vessel. In which case, the excrement of a chicken should be able to be removed. And I don't have to flip a bowl over it, right? Be'ashba, right? It's in a trash can, right? And a Gerev Shel Rei is only if it's in a place that's very uncomfortable, it's very disgusting, you don't want it sitting around your house. But if it's in a trash can, then you'd be allowed to the trash can, then you're not allowed to move it, right? Because that's not a Gerev Shel Rei, that's not just like sitting around your house and bothering you, it's in the trash can. Oh, but you still don't want to cut them playing with it? Fine, then put a bowl over it. That's what we're talking about. Excrement of chicken in a trash can. It's not a Gerev Shel Rei because it's inside of a trash can. You're still concerned that a katan is going to get to it. The katan ba'ashba mai ba'ile. What's a child doing in a trash can? What's a child doing searching through a dumpster? Bechatzer. It's in a courtyard. It's not a public trash can that he's just like mulling around in. It's the trash can in the courtyard, and we're concerned that a katan might get into a trash can in a courtyard. Chatzer nami Gerev Shel Rei. But one second, if the excrement of the chicken is in the chatzer, then that's a Gerev Shel Rei, right? Yeah, you don't want it in your house, but you also don't want it in your private courtyard, right? So still, you'd be allowed to remove it. In which case, why are you only slipping a bowl over it if you'll be allowed to remove it? No, we're talking about a case where it's in the trash can, so it's not a Gerev Shel Rei, it's in the trash can, but it's in the chatzer. The trash can is in the chatzer, and that's why your child might get into it, because it's in your chatzer, but it's in the trash can, so it's not a Gerev Shel Rei. So in order to prevent him from doing so, you put a bowl over it, because it's not fit for a kelev, in which case it is actually mukta. And that's the case we're talking about. So Avin, you were wrong in your explanation of the Mishnah, and I still don't have a place to sit. It doesn't actually say that. Val akrav shelo teshach, and you can flip it over a scorpion, so it doesn't bite you. Amar Bishu ben Levi, kol amazikin nehargin b'shabbat. Bishu ben Levi says, attacking animals can be killed on Shabbat. Matav Rav Yosef Chamishana Hargin v'Shabbat. Really, five of them can be killed on Shabbat. Ve'elohem, right? These are them. They can be killed. Zvush of Eretz Mitzrayim, the fly of Eretz Mitzrayim. It's a particularly dangerous fly. Vetzira and a wasp Shebininve Ve'akrav Shebichadayev, right? So the scorpion. Ve'nachash Eretz Yisrael and the nachash in Eretz Yisrael. So basically, these are particularly dangerous animals. Native to those lands, or a wild dog in any place, they can be killed because of the damage we presume that they will do to you if you don't kill them. Mani, so who's the author of this Mishnah? Ilay Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'amar Melach Shana Tzricha Legufa Chayev. It can't be. Do you want to say this Rabbi Yehuda Shita? But he holds the Melach Shana Tzricha Legufa is Chayev, right? That sure you're doing the act of killing. You're killing an animal not for its intended purpose of a malacha. Because the purpose is not to save yourself from an attack, rather to kill an animal for shechita purposes or because you need its leather, rather. In which case, it's lachshen shechita gufa, because the purpose of killing animals that was used in the Mishkan was not to save yourself from their danger. In which case, lachshen shechita gufa, but still, Rabbi Yehuda says lachshen shechita gufa is chayev. So why would he allow you to kill any animals just to spare yourself? Of course, it's pikuach nefesh, it's a little bit of a different case, but we're not talking about pikuach nefesh seemingly. Chayev le ela. Love Rabbi Shimon, right? So it must be Rabbi Shimon's shita who permits melacha shana tzricha legufa. Vehani who deshari achrina lo. But okay, then how do you explain why he would only permit five, but he wouldn't permit others? If it's a melacha shana tzricha legufa, you should be allowed to kill all of them if you're concerned, not just these particular ones. I'm Rabbi Yirmiya uman neimelan de hametaratsta he dilum mishavashta he. Well, how do you know that this is that you lodged a good proof from a Mishnah. Maybe this isn't a reliable Mishnah, or maybe this isn't a reliable Braita. Maybe it's a mess up. It's a mistake. Right? I don't have to answer to your proof. Prove to me that your tradition of this Braita is an accurate one. Now, that's generally, by the way, not a comment that you could make. If you were just allowed to assume that any Mishnah or Braita, rather, that was brought against you may not be an accurate one, well, then it really uproots most of the dialogue. But in fact, there are a couple different origins or a couple different collections of Braitot or locations where Braitot were taught that we universally regard as trustworthy and accurate, but this was not one of those Braitas. This Braita specifically was taught from a place that did not have, let's say, 100% certainty regarding its accuracy, and that's Davka why you could challenge here. Maybe it's an inaccurate Braita, and so I don't have to answer. Maybe the Braita's a mess-up, and so that's why it doesn't seem to follow Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon Shita, because it's a mess-up. It's not accurate. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Ana matniti la ve'utvina la ve'ana mitzaretzna la. Right? He says, I taught this Mishnah, and I taught this Mishnah, and I asked the question on the Mishnah, but now I'm going to answer the question on the Mishnah and resolve, and resolve who this Mishnah accords like. Beratzu acharav divrei hakol. It's in a case where it's chasing after a person, and everyone agrees that in that case you'd be allowed to kill them because these five things are particularly dangerous. If it's chasing after, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're allowed to kill it. Tani Tana Kame de Rava Bar Rav Huna. So following taught in front of Rav Bar Rav Huna, Harig Nechashim Vakravim Mishabbat En Ru Chasidim Nocha Hemenu. Someone who kills snakes and scorpions on Shabbat, the pious people are unpleased with his behavior. So he said to them, "Oh, well, those pious people who look down upon those who kill snakes and scorpions, the wise people, the chamim, look down upon them or are not pleased with their behavior." So that's clearly an argument on what Rav Huna hold, because Rav Huna saw a certain person killing a hornet, and he says, "What, have you finished killing all the hornets?" Right? Meaning basically to indicate to him, like, what are you doing? What you're doing here is bad. So clearly Rav Huna believes that you're not supposed to kill a hornet. Tan Rabbanan, nizdamno lo nachashim vakravim. The rabbis taught that if you encountered snakes and scorpions, Hargan biyadushin is the menu lo lehorgan, right? If you succeeded in killing them, then it's clear that the reason that you happened upon them is so that you would kill them and prevent them from harming anyone. Lo hargan, if you do not succeed in killing them, biyadushin is the menu lahargo, right? That if you're not able to kill them, then you should know that that you happened upon them so that they would actually kill you, right? That was the intention. Right? Yet a miracle happened and they saved you from the snake and the scorpion, but you should realize that a miracle saved you, and they were actually supposed to kill you. Amar Ula v'itema Rabba Barar Chana Amar Yochanan be nishofin bo. Davka, in a case where they were touching him, that's when you can assume that they were sent to kill him, or they were supposed to kill him. Amari Abba Barkana Pamachat Nafal Echad Beit Midrash. So one time, one of these fell into a Beit Midrash. V'amad Nioti, a certain Nioti person, a place, Echad V'Hargo, and killed it. Amar Rebbe Pagabo Kiyotzebo. So Rebbe said it was killed by its own kind, basically, being kind of suggesting that the person who attacked them was a mazik in and of himself. Right? This is a mazik, this is a dangerous animal, and so the person who killed the animal was kind of a dangerous person, a mazik in and of himself. Ibailahu pagabo kayotsebo de shapir avidalo. What was he suggesting? Did he say that he was doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Did Rebbe agree with what he did or disagree? Tashma, okay, come here, proof. Rebbe Abba bere, Rebbe Chia bar Abba, Rebbe Zera, Havu Yatvi, Akil debe Rebbe Yanai. So he's sitting in the court of Rebbe Yanai. Nafik Milta Mibenai, who a certain matter came out from between them. Ba'umine Mirabiyane. They asked Rabbiyane the following. Mahula harog nachashim bakarim shabbat. Are you allowed to kill snakes and scorpions on Shabbat? Amar lahu. Tzira ani horeg nachashuakarv lo kol shaken. I would kill a hornet. Would I not kill a snake and a scorpion all the more so? It says, if I can kill a hornet, then wouldn't all the more so I could kill a snake and scorpion? That's a reasonable kal v'chomer. Diyam alafi tuma. Well, no, because maybe the only reason the only context where we saw you allowed to kill a hornet is if you're just kind of walking on, along your way, and it doesn't look like you're going out of your way to kill it. You're just kind of walking and you step on it, right? Maybe you're not allowed to go out of your way to kill the hornet, in which case you can't give me a kal vachomer that because I'm allowed to kill a hornet, I can kill things that are more dangerous. Dam Rav Yehuda, as Rav Yehuda taught, rok dorso lefitumo. When there's spit on the ground, you're allowed to just step on it casually without going out of your way for it. And you don't have to be concerned that someone's going to think that you're trying to even out a hole in the ground. The Amar Rav Sheshet, Nachash dorso lefitumo. And similarly, Rav Sheshet says that with regard to a snake, you're allowed to step on it just in your kind of normal gait of walking without going out of a way to kill it. But seemingly, only when you're walking along the way, but not going out of your way to kill it. Amar Rav Ketina, Akrav dorso lefitumo. And Rav Ketina taught by a scorpion that you're allowed to kill it just by lefitumo, but not going out of its way, not going out of your way to kill it. Amar Bar Marta, Abba Marata, the who Abba Bar Minyomi. So Abba Marata, who is Abba Bar Minyomi, have a maski be de be resh galuta, zuze, aituhu ka mitzari le, have a shada roka. So Abba Bar Minyomi owed money to the ex-lark, and so the ex-lark sent his guys to pressure him into giving them money. And when they were there, they found spit on the ground. Amar lehu resh galuta, aitu ma'ana sachifu iluve. So resh galuta said, you know, come bring a vessel to cover up the spit so people don't walk on it, because you shouldn't walk on it on Shabbat. Amar lehu lo tzarich tu hachi. And so then Abba Bar Minyomi said, you don't need to do that. That's not necessary to cover it up so you don't step on it on Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Yehuda rok dorso lefitumo, because Rabbi Yehuda teaches that you're allowed to just casually walk upon spit without having to be concerned that other people are thinking that you're evening out the ground. So the ex-lark then said, he's clearly a great Torah scholar, so let's not bother him, leave him alone.